thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Watch the fourth quarter. This is the Stretch Four with the Bulls Outcast. I'm Matt. That's Big Dave. John's taking the night off to hang out with his wife because it's a holiday, and you know, he's being a good husband, I guess. Lame. And we should have a certain four-time NBA champ joining us here in a few minutes to get chewed out by this guy over here. Let's not bury it, Dave. Tell me everything you want to tell me about Daniel Gafford right now.
Daniel Gafford! Okay? Daniel Gafford! Did you not see what he brought to the game tonight? I have been screaming about this, and Matt knows I've been screaming about this since last year, about putting this dude into the game, about what he brings. And after even listening to Will yesterday, I went back and I was watching clips of the game and watching him perform, and I started questioning myself. I was like, what am I missing? What am I not seeing? There has to be something wrong that I'm not seeing, because Will Perdue is a genius. Like, he knows what he's talking about. He has schooled me on so many things about basketball, right, dog. Yeah. Like, I learned so much from him. And then I'm looking at other people I respect on Twitter saying these same things. And I'm like, what am I missing? What am I not seeing? There has to be something I am not seeing that's going on. And then Gafford comes out tonight and says, nah, Big Dave, your eyes ain't lying to you, baby. You know what you're seeing out here. You are correct. I am a beast. And he was out there beasting. Those dunks, the energy they provided, those blocks, those steals, the way he ran the floor. You couldn't just do anything you wanted to. You saw how the offense moved because he was on the court. Everybody knew their role. They knew what to do because they're like, this dude got the paint. We know he's getting the rebound. We know he's going to set the pick and he's going to roll. We got that. As soon as he was set a pick and roll, it was always somebody wide open for three. Did y'all notice that? It was always somebody wide open every time that would happen. And when it went up, he was a problem and a legit problem to get an offensive rebound. That is huge. Oh my God. Did you see the play when Temple shot the three and Gafford went up and he just tipped it and tipped the ball back and Valentine got it and kicked it back out to Zach LaVine, who went up and he got it and he shot it. And then when he missed it, Gafford is battling Lopez and drew a foul on Lopez. He drew the foul, which means he went up and he got two extra points for you. That's the stuff you're supposed to do when you can play basketball. He know what he's doing, man. Put this dude in the game. He can play, and I'm just excited to see it. Yes, I am. Oh, Alex, thank you for the tip, my friend. He agreed.
Thanks for the tip, Alex, who agrees with all the Gafford love. Lakeem just said, careful, Dave. Ryan Nall might get jealous. Well done, Lakeem.
Ryan knows where we stand. He knows it's about football. And Ryan Nall love will be in full effect on Sunday. So please understand what's going on.
Dude, we got a doubleheader Sunday. We got Bears Packers at 3, and then a Bulls game after that.
I'm excited to spend it with you, man. I can't wait for that day. I will be in full meathead mode, and I can't wait to do it. And yeah, it's gonna be exciting.
I know it's gonna be a fun day because I'm gonna spend a lot of hours watching sports with you. I am 100% prepared for the Bears to get blown out by Green Bay.
Ditto.
I quit on that team and after their fifth straight loss. I was like, dude, fuck these guys. Look, yes, I generally speaking agree with everything you said about Gafford in that simplistically, he can have that effect on teams who aren't prepared for him. He has crazy bounce and he understands one thing really well. Set screen, run towards hoop, catch ball, dunk. That's it. He can crash the offensive glass on misses and get putbacks. He runs the pick and roll. That's all he should ever do. That's all he should ever have to do. Like, it's that simple. It's just a question of, like, what does the new Bulls front office view as far as the time and money putting into developing Wendell a lottery pick versus – well, hey, the second rounder looks pretty darn good too. And how do you make that decision?
Yeah, and I think that's why he wasn't getting kind of that time to play is, you know, they're so invested in Wendell Carter Jr. because he has more skill set. He has a better skill set. He has, you know, more range. You can see him shoot the three, even though he's not shooting good from three. you know, he, you're actually not like, don't take that shot. With Gafford shooting a three, you're like, oh my God, what are you doing? You know, so I understand right. that he has the skill set, but it's about the fit, man. And he makes everybody's life simpler. He makes their lives easier when he's out there. When you got a guy out there that's that can be your enforcer, that can be your bully, like it does something to your team when you got that. I'm thinking of teams like even the Detroit Pistons, and you know how much we hate the Detroit Pistons, but you remember Bill Laimbeer and his enforcer type attitude. Hell, you remember Joakim Noah and his enforcer type attitude that he would bring out there for those guys, man. That stuff matters, and he's got that. And that matters. And when you have something like that, combined with that athleticism and combined with skill, you see, and Matt, and another thing we haven't mentioned is his hands are awesome. He doesn't fumble the basketball when you give it to him. He catches it, and he knows right. the moves to make when he goes up to try to score.
And I may have sold him a little short on the doing one thing and one thing only. You mentioned the good hands, not only on catching when he's, you know, going on all these rolls and lobs, but and also having good hands on rebounds in the offensive glass. He had two steals tonight. Did you see him get his hands in passes in passing lanes twice tonight? I mean, that was new. I've never seen that level of defensive, you know, savvy.
Yeah, man. Gavin. I mean, you saw a guy who got time. He got time to play. How many minutes he played tonight? Let me look here. 22 minutes. 22 minutes tonight, 15 points, 5 rebounds. And I mean, he picked up like 8 of those points in like the second quarter. Like, oh my God, weren't the Ducks just getting you out of your seat? Like, it was just that point of what I'm saying, man. It didn't look hard. Like, it looked easy. Yeah. Like, he's supposed to be out there. And I promise you, that stuff energizes your team. That's the stuff that energizes your team, man. And it makes guys want to play harder and do certain things more for you, man. They have to find a way to get him on the court. I think he should be starting. Obviously, they're more invested in Wendell Carter Jr., and I understand it. But I think he needs to be starting because I think he fits it a little bit better, man. But even if you're not going to start him, you got to find a way to get this dude on the court. He cannot just sit on the bench.
Yeah. People in the chat are loving the Scalabrini reference. So here's something interesting, a kind of a left field topic, but let's talk about it. TJ said he really wanted to see Devin Dotson tonight. To see where he's at. I'm assuming he's not ready if Billy isn't playing him. I mean, my question to you, TJ, would be, and thanks for the tip, like, where would you have put him in this rotation tonight? And who would you have taken out? I mean, maybe Denzel, but
Denzel hit the Steph Curry three. What are you talking about?
And that's all he did all night.
Yeah, man. Denzel, man. I mean, what, 3 points, 4 rebounds? 1 assist, 1 steal, and he played about 15 minutes.
That's
not great. It's not great. It's not a great thing when I forget that you're out there on the court and the only shot you hit is like as a Hail Mary. So I don't know, man. I don't know, bro.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what happens if and when the other pieces of the rotation that have been in there that we saw against Golden State and against Washington part one, Sato, Hutch, and obviously also Lowry missing. What happens with Gafford and what happens with that? I honestly don't know. Because like you obviously loved what you saw from both of those guys tonight. I do really also want to talk about Thad Young a little bit more too, but I also was really liking you and me and Will and John talked about the Lowry at the five experiment and the fact that it wasn't going as horribly wrong as we assumed it would because you had all of those wings around. You know, Donovan was playing like a three-wing lineup with Lowry at the five. And do you sacrifice that to get more minutes for Gafford or more minutes for Thad? I mean, what do you think about that?
And I don't want to say these are good problems to have because they're not, because we're not winning. But it's the fact that guys played well that you have these problems right here. And I was thinking that too, Matt, when I was watching this game, because there was a fluidness to this team this season that I hadn't seen before. And I don't know if it was because, you know, they didn't have to worry about, you know, getting certain guys in. And by the way, shout out to TJ and Leo for the tips. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. I didn't know if it was for that reason or if it was because, you know, they knew that they were going to get time to play. Like, I don't know if Gafford played that way because he knew he was going to have more time in there or even Denzel, you know, being comfortable shooting a 40 footer and stuff like that. I don't know, but going forward, man, it's about to be some tough questions coming up for the team. It's about to be real tough questions,
right?
Because they've looked good without a guy that I love, you know, that I want to be out there,
right?
And Otto Porter Jr. had a great game. I don't expect him to continue this, and I'm sure we'll get into Otto Porter in a minute, but I don't expect him to continue it having that kind of game. But he looked good. You can't deny what you saw out there tonight. So, yeah, man, I mean, you're right. Like, those questions will be asked about him and Satoransky, you know, and guys like that. Like who's expendable now?
And I think a lot of it will depend night to night on matchups and lineups against who you're playing. Because, you know, Gafford was a DNP against Golden State. Steve Kerr trotted out a lineup where the tallest dude was 6'5". So tonight, you know, you had Rolo in there. You were trying to corral Thomas Bryant, who's a big boy. And then Gafford got some run. So, like, yes, Lowry was out. One of the front court guys ahead of him in the rotation was out. But maybe we would have seen Gafford either way tonight because the Wizards play a little bit bigger. So I am putting my trust in Billy Donovan and AK and Eversley to say, okay, there's going to be a lot of experimentation this year because we're going to spend the season figuring out who we want to keep, what works and what doesn't. But in the meantime, in a night like tonight, it was just nice to see some efficient, watchable basketball. And again, yes, against a bad, bad Washington team. But, I mean, come on, man. When you and I have been friends who watch Bulls games together, every single Bulls game together for 2+ seasons now, when's the last time you and I were that excited at the end of a Bulls game?
I can't even tell. And not even excited, Matt, but actually rooting for a victory. And not just excited because some craziness might happen, or excited because we don't want them to go into a fourth overtime. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that. Right. It was, oh, my God, I'm excited because dancing in the fire. Like, we were excited because we're like, this team has a chance to win, and they look good. The final score was 133-130. Like, what? Like, yeah. What? That's not normal for what we watched for the past 2 years, man.
That's a Bulls Blazers score from 1992.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you expect Mike to have 55 and Clyde Drexler got 42.
Right.
Like, that's what you usually expect. But, man, it just felt so good to feel that going into the fourth and the way they came back. Like, at no point did I have a concern. I shouldn't say have a concern, but at no point was I just like, oh, my God, we're going to blow this one too. Like I would last year. Because last year we were like, nope, they're blowing this.
I was like, let them get all the fourth quarter cough-ups. Like, once it was clear to me that the team wasn't going anywhere and they were bad and Jim Boylan's a joke, I was rooting for failure so that they would get rid of Jim. And on top of that, finally get rid of John and Gar. I was like, give us enough evidence to blow all this shit up because you all suck and I hate all of you and I hate that I'm a Bulls fan. And none of it was fun. Honestly, this is kind of a tangent. We can get back to the game in a minute, but did you ever think about that? It's like you and me and John were lucky enough to get that gig, and we're sitting in the green room at NBC. We're watching we're watching our team. We're watching Bulls games every night with fucking Will Perdue and Kendall Gill, you know, Mark Schanowski, Jason Goff. These like people who you and I know like look up to and idols in broadcasting and idols who played the game themselves. And that was the product we were watching. It was like I was a salty, you know, sarcastic douche for the 2 years that we were doing that gig. And I was like, there's a different side of me when it comes to being
a
Bulls
fan. And I'm excited to get to know this side of you, Matt, because it's a side I don't know. I don't know this, Matt. We're Bears and Bulls fans. So I don't know a side of Matt where he's just in engulfed in joy and just happy watching his team.
Yeah.
So,
dude, I got to get you to watch the Blackhawks games with me, man. Cause those cups in 2010, 2013 and 2015, Matt was having a fun time.
See, I want to know fun sports, Matt. That's the Matt I would like to know.
Dude, the Cubs 2016 playoff run? Whew, watch out, world. Fun Matt was out for blood.
He means that in a good way.
Yes. I want to go back to another comment to kind of round out our Gafford and Wendell conversation. Shoot, where did it go? And sorry if I'll paraphrase, and I'm sorry that I didn't remember who said it, but, you know, pure centers can still be effective in the NBA, especially athletic ones, was the comment. And to me, it's like, that is a hugely simple explanation of Gafford versus Wendell. Because Wendell is not a pure center if what you mean is like the standard NBA center. He's an undersized center who's playing in an undersized trending NBA, whereas Gafford is a legit, you know, 6'11", 7 feet. And Gafford certainly appears to have greater athletic ability than Wendell. So Wendell's undersized and not as athletic, and you see what Gafford does, and you're like, wow, he looks better.
You just see it, and it doesn't look difficult. And that's one of the key things about it, guys. Like, it doesn't look hard. Like, even going back to Gafford's game where he had that 20-10 game, you know, the game before last, some of that looked hard. And some of that, you know, some of that looked like, oh, man, he had to struggle to get some of these buckets. They didn't look smooth. You know, when Gafford's in there, it looks smooth. It looks like this is supposed to happen. Those dunks, man, just look easy. Like, oh, man. And he's dunking from, like, the top of the key. Like, he's coming in from there and yamming it on cats. That changes things. And also, and Eli hits on what I was just about to say. The fact that Gafford is 6'10", you know, and with Wendell Carter Jr. being 6'9", is huge. Because being 6'9" and playing center, you have to be special. You have to be Ben Wallace, you know, near Hall of Fame. You have to be a Dennis Rodman, you know, being undersized. A Charles Barkley being undersized. A Derrick Rose being undersized. But when you're 6'10" and you've got athletic gifts as far as jumping out of the gym and you've got great hands, the game looks easier to you, man, because you're not playing out of position. You're playing the position you came into the league to do.
It's a novel concept.
Yes, Matthew.
So many things tonight were so refreshingly logical. And I know I had a little mini rant about this in the fourth quarter, but Thad Young and Otto Porter Jr., we got to talk about those guys for a second, man, because those are guys who one came over via trade, one was sort of an underwhelming free agent signing a year ago. Otto just hasn't been healthy, and every Bulls fan who didn't really know a whole lot about his game before coming here was like, who is this dude making all this money? That guy? And Thad Young, it's like, okay, well, he's old and kind of slow and isn't a great three-point shooter, and Jim Boylan has him in the corner launching threes. Tonight you saw what both of those guys can do. They're vets. Yes, one of them is overpaid, but a contract year motivated Otto, who is healthy, and a Thad who is happy to be rid of Jim Boylan and being allowed to do things like establish post position and take advantage of mismatches on smalls who get switched on to him. Just competent basketball from two veteran players.
Thank you, Patrick, for the tip. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. Yes, competent basketball. And I had been one of Otto Porter Jr.'s critics, especially coming into this season. Because I was just seeing him coming in out of shape last year, always hurt, you know, showing up and disappearing. And even when he came back, he was like, I'm coming off the bench. He didn't want to start. He didn't want to play. And I'm like, this is the second highest paid player in Chicago behind Khalil Mack. Like, I'm going to need you to go out here and provide something. And so coming into this year, I wanted to see what he wanted to do. I mean, obviously he's in a contract year. It's his last year. He's going to make this kind of money. And I'm sure he knows that. So he wants to get a bigger contract. But I still wanted to see if he liked the game of basketball, because John would say this, and I thought it was a brilliant thing that he said. He was like, Otto Porter Jr. looks like basketball is his fifth favorite thing. Like, that's the game he would play. And I was like, yeah, that's how it looked. And then you see a performance like tonight, like, and you're like, okay, I see what you can actually bring to this team. And I'm glad you're coming off the bench. Like, having him come off the bench and having one of your starters get hurt, you don't feel as bad. You're like, all right, bet. I got Otto Porter Jr. coming in and filling this role. I know he can take this role because obviously he's better when things aren't just on him and he doesn't have to be the guy, you know what I'm saying, that they're dependent on. If he's just coming off the bench, he's cool because you're not as mad if he gets you 10 points, you know, coming off the bench as you would be if he was starting. So, yeah, you saw that tonight, man. It was kind of off of him. And plus, you know, playing back at Washington, I'm sure had something to do with it too. But, dude, he just looked really comfortable out there. He looked really good.
I mean, 28 and 12, also chipping in three assists and three steals. Like, that is an auto that – that's the dude who earned that ridiculous contract at one point in the past. And whether or not he's a piece of this team long term, I always believed that a healthy, motivated Otto Porter Jr. could help this team by leaps and bounds. I've said it before, I'll say it a million times. It is no coincidence that the best that Zach and Lowry looked at any point over the last couple of years is the 12 games that they played with Otto when he came over from the trade before he got hurt. He's a smart player who makes the right play, and he makes the other players around him better. And, you know, maybe he came in out of shape last year. Maybe the injuries lingered. Maybe some of them were exaggerated because he was so, uninspired and disillusioned from the current state of the Bulls organization. And if so, I don't blame him. But now that there is a fresh start and you have a respected head coach in Billy Donovan, a players coach in Billy Donovan, and some new fresh eyes from other organizations at the executive level instead of just, you know, like a doofus who calls people that live in Iowa only and has moles on the staff to report back to him about what you're saying about him. It's like, oh, maybe these guys hate their lives a little less and are more motivated to not
Scott,
suck.
Oh, Scott and Book Jones with the tips. We appreciate you, baby. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you very much. And cheers to you too, Scott. Happy New Year to you.
I honestly, you know, and we talked a little bit, especially with some of the ugly performances out of the gate, you know, the blowout loss to Atlanta and Indiana. This team had to wash some serious stink off of themselves. Like, yeah. Seriously, mentally, emotionally, and also just the bad basketball that they were being forced to play. I think we would both agree that this team is still short on talent. And they are leaps and bounds away from the year when they're ready to contend again. But at least that step of washing the stink off and then having these guys be excited to play basketball again shouldn't be understated.
Because it's huge. And I mean, you hit that on the head, man. I said on Twitter, like I said earlier, that you could just see this team kind of clicking offensively. Like, I knew it was kind of going to come together. Like, you could just see it kind of coming together. They were figuring it out. Because those first few games, you know, they were just used to doing that. You know, they were just used to being bad. They're used to not winning. Nobody on this team is used to winning. They're not. Nobody's like, oh, man, you know, we're down by five. Man, we can, you know, rustle it up and come back. No, they used to being like, we're down by five. All right, it's over. You know, let's, you know, whatever. You know, we got our money. Let's go home. They're used to that. They're used to going through the motions. Zach LaVine's used to going through the motions. Like, this is normal. That was their normal. And so when you come in and you're changing that, it's going to be growth and it's going to be hard. And I appreciate Billy Donovan so much for knowing that and stating that and saying what it was going to be. And getting his team to trust him, because Matt, when they gave him the game ball, that told me everything I needed to know. Like Jim Boylan wasn't getting none of that. I remember when Jim Boylan, after that first win under him, he was like, guys, this is the first step towards winning a championship. Like, what are you talking about? Like, no, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. You just won a game. It's not the first towards winning a title. Get out of here. You won a game, dude. Stop it. So this dude, they have respect for him. And they like him, and the competency is just off the charts. And I mean, it's exciting, bro. It's exciting.
All right. So certainly nice to finish the year on a win. The Bulls are now 2-3, two wins against the Wizards, a couple of blowout losses, and a nail biter and a heartbreaker against the Warriors. Now you face unarguably your toughest test yet. I know that the Bucks have stumbled out of the gate a little bit. I think it's mostly them just getting used to their new pieces. They've got a pretty different roster than the one they had last year as far as surrounding Giannis and Middleton, the complementary pieces. Then the other night, we saw them break NBA records with three-pointers dropping a buck 44 on Jimmy Buckets and the Heat. A huge blowout win. Then the Heat come back and beat the Bucks last night, 119-108. The Bucks also have a 20-point loss to the New York Knickerbockers on their early season record. So it's kind of hard to figure out the Bucks so far, but you cannot deny that they will be the toughest test so far with Giannis, with Middleton, with all the pieces they have. Will the Bulls come crashing back down to earth tomorrow night? My guess is they will be without those same four players tomorrow night. So, you know, no offense to Archie, but, you know, mostly that means, again, no Lowry, again, no Sato, and again, no Hutch. So we're probably going to see some similar things to what we saw tonight as far as
who's getting minutes in their set. I actually forgot about Hutch and Archie. Like, because I when we were talking about this, I was like, who are the two other players that are out? Like, I can't remember who that is right now. And I forgot about them because the guys who were replacing them were playing well. Like, you don't think about, you know, what's missing when everything's going okay. You know, you don't think about what you don't have when things that you have are working. And that was exciting to me. But, yeah, they'll probably be without those guys again in the protocol. And, of course, Lowry had the calf injury. He said he wasn't comfortable and he couldn't move how he wanted to move. So, hopefully, you know, that gets better. But, man, like, what you saw tonight gave you encouragement about going in tomorrow. But, of course, like you said, Matt, it's still the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, I know they aren't, you know they haven't been consistent. You know, they might be the best team in the world. Then the next night you're like, who is this? But you still got the back-to-back MVP on their team. You still got Jrue Holiday out there. You still got Chris Middleton out there. I mean, they got a squad. They got DJ Augustine, who I've always liked as a point guard. I'm sure Bulls fans know DJ Augustine. So
Bulls legend, DJ Augustine.
Like, it's going to be an issue. Like, it's going to be a problem, and it's going to be tough playing them. But I'm excited going in. Because I know my team doesn't suck. You know what I mean? And that feels good. So I'm just like, I really hope the 40-point blowouts are done. That's all I'm hoping. Because even if they lose, and they lose by like 10, I'm not even going to be like, oh, man, they lost by 10. I'm like, no, we lost to a team people have been picking to go to the finals, you know, for a couple years now. So, yeah, I just want to see them come out and play and look competent. And look sure of themselves. Even if they don't hit the shots, I still want to see them look sure of themselves like they did tonight.
Well, we'll see what the update is on Wendell and whether or not that aggravated hip or whatever it was turns out to be serious and if he misses time. But wouldn't it be cool if we get another monster game from Gafford against the Bucks and he gets to kind of like, you know, avenge that loss where he didn't get a shot in the fourth quarter?
That would feel so good, man. It feels good. Rub them together, baby. Matt, I got a question.
Okay. So before we get out of here and let everyone enjoy their New Year's Eve, we teased y'all that Will was coming on the show tonight, and that was the plan. I've been texting with him back and forth while we're talking here. He's having some tech issues tonight. Tech issues. We'll tech see. Issues. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe he was afraid to face the fire and admit to Big Dave that Gafford had himself a monster game tonight. Will texted me and said, tell Dave to calm down on Gafford.
How about you come up on here and you tell me to calm down on Gafford? How you going to talk about tech issues knowing you got your son and everybody around? And I'm sure they know what they're doing. But it's okay. I'll be here, Will. So the next time Gafford has this next game, we'll have this discussion again.
You know, it could be hot mic tech issues, you know, because we've experienced those before. I'm not saying that Will's making up tech issues to prevent getting reamed for the Gafford love tonight, but we'll follow that up with improvement. We need consistency from Gafford. See,
Will, you told me he couldn't do anything. Like, that's what I remember. Yesterday, it was he can't do anything. He don't have no moves. He's out there with just straight up effort. That's all it is. But now it's consistency. But I appreciate you growing. I appreciate you growing and coming along and getting on the Gafford train, sir. We appreciate you being here, Will, and you know I love you. And I can talk this because I would actually say this to you, but you know I love you more than a lot of things.
It's true. It's true. We both love Will Perdue very much. We're sorry that we couldn't figure out how to get him on tonight. Here he is saying, I didn't say he couldn't do anything.
Will,
we're not going to sleep well on New Year's Eve. This is going to bug him. We know Will. This is going to bug him until we get to talk about it with him. But let's – let's just enjoy this victory and say that the Bulls are starting 2020 with a fresh coach, a fresh development staff, a fresh front office, and a two-game winning streak. Isn't that nice?
2-2, baby. Two games. Feels good.
Don't start with the Bulls and numbers meaning things. Yeah. Don't do it. Fair. We know who does that.
Fair.
And he's a terrorist.
Not a terrorist, but fair point. Fair point.
Domestic terrorism has risen by 1,000%, and C. Red Fred is responsible for 600 of those percents.
We can't take that nowhere. Hey, man, I do want to ask this question because it was asked in the chat. I need you to tell this story of this bar stool that you broke at Break in Brooklyn.
Oh, shoot.
Bro
must be watching.
He said, tell it.
I didn't see. Yeah. So that was the Blackhawks 2 goals in 17 seconds against Boston in the 2013 Stanley Cup Finals. So Break was this billiards bar that my brother and I loved. It was like a short ways from me in Astoria, Queens, where I lived when I lived in New York. And it was just like a gigantic long bar and like a dozen pool tables and then like ping pong tables, arcades, videos. It was like Dave and Buster's, but it was just a bar in Queens, basically. And we were, my brother and I, you know, just being like two Chicago hockey fans in Queens, we're like, well, this is the sports bar where we watch all our sports. So we went there for that clinching game against against Boston, the 2013 Stanley Cup Finals. So, you know, we're edge of our seats. The Blackhawks get the first goal to tie it up. And I jump out of my bar stool with excitement and it falls backwards and breaks. And I'm like, crap, sorry, you guys, got really excited. I shift over a bar stool from the broken one, sat back down. 17 seconds later, the Blackhawks score the go-ahead goal. I jump up out of my bar stool. That one falls, and that one breaks. So I broke two bar stools in the span of 17 seconds.
How have I never heard this story? That's awesome, dude. How is it that you break everything? You're always breaking things. What is this?
Dude, I'm a violent sports fan, but it is the only way in which I am violent, and it's always accidental. Fair. But the good news is that my bro and I and my other friends hung out at that bar so often, and they knew us as regulars and liked us that they weren't even mad. They were like, dude, just here's a fresh beer. Now,
can I tell you,
enjoy,
man,
this.
In my head, that's not how the story went. Like, that's why I wanted to hear this story. Because in my head, I pictured you picking up a bar stool and just smashing it against the bar out of pure anger. That's what I was seeing in my head.
Oh. Yeah. Turns out it was accidental, and it was because I was happy about something. Not like when we watched the double doink together and I asked the bartender for a glass to shatter. He was like, yeah,
thank God for that bartender, by the way. I appreciate that bartender, man. Because, yeah, and we have video proof that I might never show you all. But, like, yeah, but there's proof. It's proof.
Yeah, and then so later that night, to finish the barstool breaking story, one of my good buddies who like is not as big of a sports fan as I am, but knows how much he was one of the ones who, when I was still an actor, was like, you should go into sports media because you clearly care about this shit way more. I'd had a few and I was genuinely emotional about the Blackhawks winning because like 2012 to 2013 was pretty rough as a Chicago sports fan. You know, you had the Bears blowing their playoff chances on a brutal game. You had, you know, the D Rose ACL, like it was a dark, dark year. And I was like a Chicago sports fan all alone in New York. And I was crying tears of happiness. And my buddy just like filmed it. I didn't know he was, but he like filmed it on his phone of just me crying happy tears at a bar. And then we went to a rehearsal for the show we were working on at the time and just showed everyone. Like, hey, you guys want to see Drunk Matt happy crying at a bar last night?
Because it's not normal. They don't usually see this. Like, everybody needs to take a look. Wait, Colin says Matt's got a 10-pound pair. They cause havoc when they're swinging.
That's not a pretty mental image for anyone. I mean, I did go bowling with Bobby Portis once, but I don't think that's what he's talking about.
I don't either, man.
Also, who uses a 10-pound ball? Come on. Like 13 minimum.
Be a grown up.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's all enjoy our New Year's. Everybody out there, thank you for hanging out with us. Appreciate you all. Stay tuned. Also, don't forget to check it out. You can catch these episodes archived on that Bow Law and Bulls YouTube channel and that podcast thread wherever you get your podcasts. For John Sabine, who will hopefully be back with us tomorrow, and our pal Will Perdue, who was unfortunately not able to face the music tonight on one Daniel Gafford's performance. Big Dave's going to dance anyway. That's Big Dave. I'm Matt. Have a great and safe New Year's Eve.
Enjoy your New Year's Day. Bro, we love you.